challenge of the Yukon. It's King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the North Country, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the greedy race for riches. Now back to the days of the gold rush, when Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog King battled through storm and snow to preserve law and order as they met the challenge of the Yukon. In the Gold Nugget Cafe, favorite rendezvous of the miners and prospectors of Dawson City, Steve Carlton sat alone at a table in the corner. Steve was dark, clean-shaven, and rather handsome, except for a surly expression and a cruel mouth. He looked up and smiled as Rose Dupreez, one of the entertainers, came to his table and sat down.
Hello, Steve.
How are you?
Steve, I gotta talk to you. We can't go on like this no more.
Now, listen, honey. Let's not get into that again.
Why did you marry me? You're not gonna tell people we can't live together.
We need money to live together the way I want to live.
You want me to keep working in here? Well, I shouldn't think you'd like the idea of your wife
working. I didn't say you'd have to keep working here forever. Just long enough to help me do something.
But how can working here help you?
Did you get acquainted with that greenhorn I pointed out to you last night, Mr. Marsden?
Yeah. I went over and sat at his table after you left.
Did you find out anything about him?
A little.
What'd you find out?
Oh, he's from California. Doesn't know much about prospecting, but wants to buy a gold claim.
Looks as if he had plenty of money.
Oh, he's a good spender. Said he sold his ranch in the States and came up here to try his luck.
Maybe he's just what we're looking for.
What do you mean?
If he comes in here tonight, I want to meet him. Now, Mike, I'll be dancing with you, and I'll pass his table. You stop and introduce us.
But Steve, why do you want to meet him?
Listen, kid. You want to be married and live like other women, don't you? Except maybe easier. With lots of pretty clothes and a nice house.
Sure, Steve.
Well, then you've got to help me. Maybe I'll sell my claim to Marsden.
You said your claim wasn't any good.
Maybe it'll get good enough by the time Mr. Marsden gets ready to look at it.
You mean you're going to cheat him?
I mean, you better not ask too many questions.
Hello, Sergeant Preston. There's Preston, boy.
You better beat it, Rose.
What's wrong? Oh, you mean because Sergeant Preston came in?
Yeah.
Steve, why do you always look like this whenever you see that Mountie? You look as if you'd like to murder him.
I would. I hate him more than any man I ever knew.
Why? He's never done anything to you.
Yes,
and
he has. Now get away from here before he sees us talking.
No. No, I won't go till you tell me what it is.
Get out of here, I say.
All right, then. Maybe I'll find out if I ask the sergeant. I'll ask him now.
Rose, come back here. Don't you dare ask him.
Well, tell me then.
My brother was hanged on account of him.
What? No brother? You never told me you had a brother.
It's before you came up here.
Hanged? What did he do?
I'll tell you some other time. Ever since then, that Monty watches me like a hawk. So get away from this table before he suspects we're working together.
All right, Steve, but I...
Someday I'm going to get him. Him and that dog of his.
Oh, please, Steve. Don't talk like that. I'll help you with Marsden, and then we'll go far away from here. Oh, but please, Steve. Don't talk about harming a Mountie. You know what that means.
Are you going to leave this table, or do you want me to go off and let you sit here?
All right, I'm going.
When Marsden gets here, you'll find me over at the Faro table.
All right. I'll look for you then.
Hello, Rose. Over and sit with
us. I'll see you later, Pete. Hello, Bill.
How are you, Rose?
How about a song, Rose?
In a few minutes.
Well, come on.
Hello, Sergeant Preston.
Hello, Rose.
How are you, Pierre? How's the traffic?
Oh, a fine catch this winter. Maybe you let Pierre buy you a drink. You sing French song, no?
Later on, maybe. What? Oh, I didn't even speak to your dog, Sergeant Preston. Hello there, King.
He isn't very happy in here. It's too smoky.
I don't blame him. That's the way I feel. I'll see you later.
All right, Rose.
That Rose, she mighty fine girl.
She was talking to Steve Carlton when I came in, Pierre. Does she see much of him?
Sergeant, I have never seen such eyes like you. You see everything.
Well, Rose isn't hard to see in that red dress.
Oh, she must be nice to all customers.
Yes, that's her business, I guess. I was just wondering.
You do not like Steve Carlton, no?
You know him pretty well, don't you, Sheriff?
Oh, he's mine. It is near my cabin, but I do not see him much. He is not so friendly.
I don't see why he stays around here after what happened to his brother.
You think maybe Steve, he was mixed up in that crime?
We could never prove it, Pierre.
I have tell him about my bear cub that I catch, but he never has come to see it.
Oh, how are you getting along with that bear? Does he make a good pet?
Oui. He's get quite big now. Maybe you can stop in my cabin soon and see him, no?
I'd like to. Matter of fact, I'm going north tomorrow morning. I'll be right near your place.
Why don't you stop and have breakfast?
You know, I was hoping you'd say that, Pierre. I remember the last breakfast you gave me. You're the best cook I know. I'll be going past your place rather early, though.
Oh, that is fine. Me, I am up long before sun. I will give you good breakfast and show you Michael.
Michael?
That is what I call my bear.
Oh.
I have named him after my uncle.
All right, Pierre. I'll see you early tomorrow. Come on, King. We better get some sleep.
Early the next morning, Pierre loaded his stove with wood and then went outside the cabin to feed Michael, his pet cub, who was chained to a stake outside. As he opened the door, he cried out with alarm.
Michael! Michael, where are you? Your chain. It is broke. Michael! Michael!
Frantically, the old Frenchman ran through the woods, following the tracks left by the bear. They led toward Steve Carlton's mine. And then Pierre heard shots. He ran as fast as he could toward the sound, and again he heard one as he approached the opening into Steve's mine.
Steve, he has killed Michael. Yes. Steve! Steve!
What are you doing here?
My bear. Where is he?
What are you talking about?
You shot him, no?
What are you snooping around here?
I think maybe you shoot Michael. You see him, maybe? My bear?
I haven't seen your bear.
But his track. They come this way. I hear shot. I think maybe...
Go on, get out of here. That isn't why you came.
But why you shoot gun here in mine? Why you... Oh, I see. Steve, you shoot gold into rock.
Oh, you came to spy on me, is that it?
No, Steve, no. But you do not do this. You're salting mine maybe for to sell to someone. You shoot gold into rock with shotgun, then say mine is rich.
You know all about salting a mine, do you, Frenchie? I suppose your friend Sergeant Preston told you to watch me and give him a report.
No, that is not so. But this, it is against law.
Well, you really stuck your nose into something this time, my friend.
Steve, me, I'm an old man. If you are honest and do not try to sell this mine, I will say nothing.
Your jaw tooting, you'll say nothing, you prying old fool. I'm going to see to it that you don't.
Steve, what do you mean?
It's just too bad you decided to look in here right now. Because you're not leaving this mine. I got some shells for this gun that aren't loaded with gold. They've got buckshot in them. And I'm going to use them.
Meanwhile, Sergeant Preston drove his dog team up to Pierre's cabin. Discovering it to be empty, he walked around the house and saw the old man's tracks plainly outlined in the snow beside the broken chain.
Well, looks like the bear got away, King. Maybe we better follow him. What do you say, Bob? Come on, King. We'll follow his tracks. Pierre may need our help. Well, that's funny. The bear's tracks go one way and Pierre's... Come on, King. That's Pierre. Find him, King. He's in that mine.
I'll show
Steve
you what...
Steve Carlton,
what?
Drop that gun.
Preston.
You're under arrest.
You won't take me alive. How will you take me? Get away. Stop him. Take him off. Help me.
All right, King. Get back,
fella.
Let him up.
Get him off.
Get up, Steve. Leave that gun on the ground. Guard him, King.
Steady, Kurt.
Don't try anything or I'll let him take you apart. Stand up against the side of the mine while I have a look at Pierre. Keep him there, King. Don't let him move. Pierre's dead.
It was self-defense. He tried to kill me.
You're lying. He wasn't even carrying a gun. You murdered him.
You think you'll take me alive, Monty?
Oh, yes, I will. And you'll hang for murder just the way your brother did. Put out your hands. I'm handcuffing
you. No,
do you want King to convince you?
No. No, here.
That's better. You're under arrest for the murder of Pierre Dubois.
I'll get you first, Preston. Somehow, some way, I'll kill you before I hang.
When Steve Carlton was sentenced to die for the brutal murder of Pierre and sent to Ottawa for execution, Sergeant Preston thought he had seen the last of him. But it was only the beginning of one of the most dangerous adventures the Mountie had ever experienced. One night, weeks later, Rose DeFries jumped up in alarm when she heard a knock on her window.
What's that? Who is it? What?
Rose, open this window. It's Steve.
What, Steve? But
Harry.
Steve. Oh,
let me in, quick.
Harry, let me help you.
Shut the window. Pull that shade down, quick.
But I thought you were. How did you
get... I escaped. On the way down, it was a blizzard. We got lost.
You mean you got away from Constable McKinley?
Yeah. I got away from him. He won't be around to tell how.
You didn't kill a monk.
It was self-defense. Him or me. I'm cold. I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, here. Wrap this blanket around you. Gee, why did you do it? I couldn't come to talk to you at the trial. I couldn't tell people you were my husband. Why didn't you let me help you?
I knew I'd get away somehow. I didn't want anyone to know. They'd be watching you if I got away.
Oh, I just can't believe you're here. And when I had to let you go, without even saying goodbye, I...
Come here, kid. Don't cry now. I'm back. I'm far from dead.
Oh, Steve, they'll find you.
Nobody will find me if you'll help me. They'd never dream of looking right here in the hotel. You can hide me in this room for a day or so.
It's so good to see. I can't believe you deliberately murdered me. I never believed.
Of course not, kid. I knew you'd believe the truth. We had a fight. He tried to kill me first. It was an accident. We were struggling for the gun. Went off, like I said. But Preston has always hated me. They took his word for it when he said I shot Pierre.
I guess when you're in love with someone, you believe what you want to believe about him.
I know you'll stick by me.
What are you planning to do?
See any money?
Oh, I saved a little.
Enough to buy supplies for a trip across the border, maybe?
Not enough to buy a dog team.
Too bad. I might have taken you with me.
Oh, but Steve... You must take me with you. I'm strong. I can carry a pack. I'll buy supplies enough, and we'll get across the border somehow to Alaska. We'll start all over again. Somewhere new where nobody knows.
A trip like that is too hard for a woman.
Oh, not for me, Steve. I won't let you go without me. I'm your wife. I love you.
All right. I'll take you. But before we cross the border, I have a couple of things to do.
What? What do you mean?
Never mind. Tomorrow you'll get those supplies. Bring them in a few at a time during the day so people won't notice anything.
Oh, I will, Steve.
And you better inquire around and find out where Sergeant Preston is.
Sergeant Preston? Why, Steve? Why do you want to know that?
You don't think I want to get caught, do you? If I know where he is, I'll know where to go to avoid him.
Oh, I'll find out for you. I'll find out tomorrow. One more trip today and we'll be ready.
That's fine. Get any news about Preston?
Uh-huh. He's gone to 40 Mile. It'll take him 2 days to get there. He's probably there now.
In 40 Mile, eh?
We better head south before he gets back.
40 Mile's on the way to the border.
You don't want to go there if Preston's there.
If we can watch ourselves. I'll see that we don't meet him on the trail.
Steve, you're planning to kill him. That's why you want to go that way.
What are you talking about? Don't you see that it makes sense to go that way? If Preston comes back from 40 Mile without seeing us on the trail, they'll be sure we didn't go that way. Rose, why don't you trust me?
Well, I do trust you, only... Well, I'm afraid.
If you cared anything about me, you'd believe me.
Oh, Steve, I do. I'll go wherever you want me to.
Now you're talking. We'll leave on the trail of 40 Mile tonight.
For 3 days, Rose plodded doggedly at Steve's side on the trail toward 40 Mile. The pack she carried was heavy, but Steve grumbled when she wanted to rest, and she knew she was slowing him down.
Hope we make 40 Mile by tonight.
We've come so far already. Don't you think we ought to make camp? And then
tomorrow... I don't know why, but we could have made much better time alone.
We'll make 40 Mile tonight. Only this pack is so heavy.
Listen, there's a dog team coming. Get off the trail. Come on. Back here in the woods, behind that big clump of spruce trees.
I'm coming.
Hurry. They'll be around the bend in a minute.
Oh, wait, Steve. I can't run with this empty bag.
I'll help you. Now, come on. Look, here, behind these trees.
Oh, Jack. I didn't see that log. My ankle.
Hurry.
Oh, Steve, I can't walk. Help me.
Here, I'll take your arm. Come on.
My ankle. I'm broken. I don't know.
Got to walk.
I'll get there. Some way.
Now get behind these trees. There.
It hurts. My ankle.
Keep still. This turns out to be Sergeant Preston.
You're not going to shoot him. Put that gun down.
I told you to keep still. If it's Preston, I'm getting him.
Steve, no.
Shut up. Way to travel.
But my ankle. I can't walk on it.
Get up on your feet and try it. Here. Come on. It doesn't hurt much.
Oh, no. Please, I can't step on it at all. I can't walk.
All the rotten luck. We can't camp out here forever. We're almost all out of supplies.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Try stepping on it hard. You can stand a little pain.
I can't do it. I can't walk.
We can't sit here in the wilderness and starve.
If only we had a dog team.
That's an idea. I'll go to 40 Mile and leave you here. I'll borrow a dog team and get more supplies. Come back after you.
See ya. You will come back. You wouldn't just leave me.
Well, sure, I'll come back. What do you take me for? I'll pile some wood here beside you and leave enough food. I'll be back tomorrow.
Be alone out here in the wilderness. Steve, I'm afraid.
That's all we can do, I tell you.
If you leave the gun with me, then perhaps...
You know not how to shoot a gun. You'll be safe with a fire.
It gets dark so early.
Quit worrying. I'll get some wood for you.
The early Arctic darkness closed down around Rose as she sat alone, frightened and helpless. As the long hours passed, she piled wood on the fire to keep the flames leaping high, and the supply beside her dwindled fast. Then suddenly an eerie cry cut through the silence, a cry that sent a chill of fear through her. Frantically, she put more of the precious wood on the flames. And then the cry came again from another direction. Sergeant Preston, returning on the trail from 40 Mile, halted his dog team and prepared to camp for the night. As he started to unhitch his dogs, King, standing beside him, suddenly sniffed the wind, pricked his ears forward, and growled.
What's the matter, King? Oh, those are only timber wolves, boy. They never bothered you before. I wonder if you can hear something I can. You're determined to go down that trail, aren't you, fellas? Well, all right. Maybe we can find a place to camp farther on.
On, King! On, your...
dying fire, her face white and terror-stricken. No one had heard her frantic cries for help, and now her voice was hoarse from screaming. Two pairs of fiery eyes drew closer as the fire grew smaller, and the terrified girl threw the last of the wood on the tiny flame, and her cry for help made the fiery eyes draw back.
Help! Help! Somebody help me!
Again the fire began to die down, and again the huge form of the wolf edged forward, its body black against the snow. Rose could see it plainly now. Closer and closer it came, and the other wolf began to circle behind her. A gasp of horror sprang from the girl's lips as she saw the animal crouch for the spring, and she covered her face with her arms. But at that moment, another gray form sprang from the darkness as the huge body of King hurtled straight for the wolf's throat.
And I shot the other one.
Your dog's safe. That wolf, he was ready to spring.
Good work, fella. Now, let's see, King. Are you hurt? Oh, got a few nasty slices, didn't you, boy?
I hope he isn't hurt bad.
He'll be all right. Now, what on earth are you doing here alone?
I sprained my ankle. It broke it. I couldn't walk. My husband and I were going to 40 Mile. He went on alone to get help.
Your husband? I didn't know you were married. Who's he?
You don't know him.
Funny, I didn't meet him on the trail. I just came from 40 Mile.
Oh? Well, something must have happened to him.
Well, I'll get you back to my dog sled. There's a cabin a few miles from here. It belongs to a trapper I know.
Did you hear me screaming? Is that how you happened to come?
We were pretty far from here, but King must have heard you, and that's how we happened to come.
I owe my life to that dog. When I think of what might have happened if he hadn't come.
Don't think about that, Rose. Now, we'd better get you to Jed's cabin as soon as we can.
The trapper's small, windowless cabin was furnished crudely. Rose sat on the only chair beside the table on which a lamp burned dimly. Some dry spruce branches in the corner served as a bed. Sergeant Preston put more wood on the fire in the small stove.
There. That should hold it for a while.
Good to be warm again.
How's the ankle now?
Much better since you bandaged it.
Good. Well, I guess I better go back in the woods and cut some new branches for this bed. These are all dried out.
Oh, you're doing too much. Don't bother.
Well, it won't take long. I guess Jed must be away looking over his trap line. Nobody's been here for a day or so. Come on, King. Want to go with me? We won't be gone long.
All right, Sergeant. Sergeant Preston.
I know it. I followed him here. This time, I'm going to get him.
No, Steve. Please, he saved my life.
I don't care what he did. I've been trailing him for miles. It was too dark to shoot him on the trail from where I was hiding. This dog team was too fast. I couldn't catch up with him.
Oh, Steve, put down that gun.
You keep quiet. One yell out of you and I'll choke you.
Oh, stop. Don't get away from me.
I'll be standing right here behind you. So no funny business, see?
You didn't care anything about me. The only reason you came back to me was to get money for supplies.
The only reason I came back after I escaped was to get Preston.
Oh, I've been such a fool. You have left me there in the woods to die. You killed Preston on the trail.
I could have made the border before they found him.
You're nothing but a murderer. You kill a Monty. They'll get you for it.
I did kill a Monty. I killed the constable who was taking me to Ottawa. And now I'm getting another one. When he comes in that door, the light will be right in his eyes. And I've got another bullet for that dog of his.
Oh, Steve, please. Go away before it's too late.
Be quiet. One sound out of you and you'll get a bullet through the back of your head.
As Sergeant Preston neared the cabin, his arms full of spruce branches, he heard a deep growl from King beside him.
What's the matter, boy? Some kind of animal around?
A great dog had caught the scent of a man that he remembered. A man who had once tried to kill his master. Desperately, he pressed against the Monty's leg, growling and whining to warn him of his danger. The trail of the man led to the cabin door, and King knew that's where he was waiting. But his master was walking directly toward that danger. Again, King growled and barked.
What are you trying to tell me, fella?
King realized that the sergeant didn't know his danger. Then frantically, the big dog tugged at the Mountie's pocket, growling and whining, trying to tell him to stop.
Here, let go, King. What's the matter with your boy? What's bothering you?
Inside the cabin, Rose sat tensely, her fingernails digging into the wood of the table beside her, her clenched teeth holding back the scream of warning that welled up inside her. And then, as the door opened slowly, she suddenly swung her arm and the lamp beside her crashed to the floor.
That lamp, you little fool!
As Steve's gun roared in the darkness, a gray shape leaped through the doorway as King hurtled straight at the man who was trying to kill his master.
The lantern on the shelf somewhere. Hold him, King. Watch him, boy.
Take this dog away. Let go of me, you.
What's wrong here? What? Steve. Steve Carlton.
Yes, Dave. I should have told you it was my fault. You wanted to kill you.
Get this cur off of me.
I ought to let him tear you to pieces. Get his gun, King. Get back, fella, but watch him.
My arm.
Get up. You're lucky it wasn't your throat.
Are you all right, Sergeant? Did those shots...
They missed me, Driggs. Thanks to your breaking that lamp, Rose.
I should have killed her first.
That wouldn't have helped much, Steve. King warned me that something was wrong. If there'd been a window in this cabin, I'd have known what it was. I wasn't in that doorway when you fired. I was beside it, holding King.
Oh, but the dog, I thought he
When you knocked the lamp down, Rose, I let him go. I knew King could see in the dark.
That rotten dog. If it hadn't been for
That'll
him,
do, I... Steve. Once again, you're under arrest. And this time, I'll guarantee that your case will be closed forever.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature, is brought to you each week at this time, and all characters, names, and incidents used are fictitious. Listen again next week to another exciting adventure during the days of the Gold Rush. L. Prowl speaking. This program came to you from Detroit. Does this sound familiar? Driver of grocery, truck, and trailer kidnapped. Merchandise hijacked. Hijackers barricade roads, steal truckload of soap. Yes, those items sound like they came from the headlines, don't they? As a matter of fact, they were part of a David Harding counter-spy show broadcast not so long ago. On this particular broadcast, David Harding and the counter-spies set out after a fictitious band of hijackers. But the drama sounded so real that many listeners phoned in congratulating producers of the show on their timeliness. Another thing that enhanced the reality of this fictional story was the fact that the FBI had cracked down on a ring of 21 hijackers just the day before. But it isn't unusual for a counter-spy to mirror the headlines. The fresh new subject matter is constantly in keeping with the times. For 30 minutes of suspenseful excitement, catch up with David Harding, counter-spy, heard over most of these ABC stations every Sunday. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.